Hi, Mindy. Hi, Carlita. Good to see you. Hi, Simona. Hey, Lane. You can give everyone a few minutes or a minute. Hey, Christina. All right. So good to see everybody. So I said this for those of you that were able to come to our Q&A call. I said this yesterday, but in case you weren't there, feels important to say again. I had a great month off. I really unplugged and I got space and it was a great reset and all of that. And also I really was thinking about all of you during that time. And for as much as nice as that space was, it's also so nice to be back together and to see all of you. I've really been waiting to be back together, and I'm so excited to continue. We've got a lot of great material today. We're going to start our creating awareness module. I hope that you have been. I know sometimes like we learn things and it might be that you haven't been thinking about energetics or listening at all. And if that's the case, that's been great. I promise you it's been working through you on one level or another. But whether it's conscious or unconscious, I hope that these ideas about energetics and listening, have been moving through you and you've been receiving what you need. Maybe that's just a great little question before we jump in. What have you been noticing, either about energetics or about listening? Have you been applying what we've been learning to your coaching sessions? If you're coaching, what are you noticing? What are you noticing as it shows up in your partner sessions? I'd love to hear one or two shares, either a celebration or what you're seeing and learning. Tiffany's saying in the chat how much your own internal positive attitude makes in the energy between it's in the energy between people. It's so true. It's like we know it, right? I know you know it, Tiffany. Like, right, I know, and then we forget, but then when we bring that back to consciousness, that energy follows energy and being intentional about our energy. It can shift so much. Carlita's blown away by how things have shifted in your coaching. Yay, I'm so happy to hear it. Mindy, you're more aware of your own inner dialogue. Sometimes not so fun and comfortable when we become more aware of our inner dialogue, but very important step to shifting the internal dialogues that are not so helpful. And of course, we'll get to how to do that at some point in the program as well. Lauren's noticing that she's more aware of what's not being said in client sessions. Yes, there's so much, right, when we can listen for what's not being said. And you're also feeling much more capable of handling things that have been showing up in your Facebook group. I'm so happy to hear it. Good. All right. So, with all of that, let's jump in. Today is, well, we've got, we're starting a new module, our creating awareness module. We've got three calls in this module where we're going to be looking at lots of different tools and strategies for creating awareness with our clients. So, what is creating awareness and why is it so important? Well, creating awareness is literally the act of supporting your client to see something about themselves and their situation that they weren't previously able to see. So to support them to see something about themselves and their situation that they weren't previously able to see, or to support your client in being able to acknowledge and or accept something about themselves and their situation that they weren't previously able to acknowledge or accept, or to support your client in being able to more deeply embrace something about themselves, their situation, or their situation that will help them become more confident, more clear, more able, or more open. So essentially, creating awareness helps our clients see, accept, love, acknowledge, embrace, or embrace things that they have not been able to. Creating awareness is also a strategy that allows your client to feel seen, heard, and loved by you even more deeply. When we create awareness, our clients feel more seen, heard, and loved by us. And that's because the act of creating awareness allows both the practitioner and the client to see the client more clearly and hold them there. Creating awareness can support clients to see their blind spots, their patterns, their achievements, their resources, can support them to see their gaps, their pain, their emotion, the emotion that they're experiencing, their obstacles, their inner answers, their talents, and their truest desires. Creating awareness can sometimes help create a breakthrough in an instant. Not necessarily a transformation, but a breakthrough. So take a moment and think on if this has ever happened for you. Somebody, a coach, a friend, a colleague, a family member has reflected something back to you. And just in that reflection, you could see, so all of a sudden you could see so much. It was like so much came together. You saw something that you just weren't able to see before, and it rocked your world. And sometimes it can be the simplest thing, right? That's like so obvious. You think your client can see it. They may have even said it, but just because they said it doesn't mean they actually see it or have taken it in or accepted it, right? Or embraced it. So of course, your ability to support a client to create awareness stems directly from being a deep and masterful listener. It's very hard to create awareness on something that you haven't actually heard from your client in one way or another. It's also hard to create awareness if you're operating with unchecked filters. I don't think I need to explain more on that. We looked at one. So, you know, every coaching session is different and goes in different ways. Always coach the what based on the who. But that being said, one of my general philosophies, I guess is the best way to put it, for sessions and kind of approach with my clients is that in a session, before I get to strategizing, before I get to action steps, supporting the client to create next action steps and commit for themselves, I first want to create an environment where the client can be as aware of themselves and whatever the situation is as possible before we move into the strategizing. Because when you don't create awareness first, there's often so much that's in your client's blind spots, and then that can create resistance to the strategy or false intuition about the strategy or unsound strategy. That makes sense? Okay. So there are a number of ways that you can create awareness with a client. One of the most important ways is asking questions that create awareness. We're going to do a full module on breakthrough questioning. And then, I mean, we're just going to look at questioning throughout this entire program. We're not going to look at questioning specifically in this module, but just as a note, of course, breakthrough questions create awareness. What we will be looking on over this class and next class and the one after are what I call reflecting the truth. We'll be looking at that today. There are different types of ways of reflecting the truth. Consulting is a way of creating awareness. We'll talk a little bit about that. Acknowledging and celebrating are ways of creating awareness. We'll go deep into that next week. And personal anecdote and storytelling are also ways of creating awareness. So as I said, much of the time, or you know, one of the top strategies, can I repeat those? Yes, absolutely. You know what? I'm going to just pop these into the chat. You got my all my notes on that. Hopefully it makes sense. Okay. So as I said, much of the time, you want to create awareness by asking really good questions. Often that's the preferable way, because when an individual hits on an awareness on their own, right, by answering a question, by connecting into their own wisdom, their own self-leadership, you're not being told, but they're actually answering. Oftentimes that's what can make a deeper impression and impact. That's what can be taken in more deeply than if they were simply told. Although sometimes a client will answer a question, create awareness, and you're going to want to reflect back what they said, right, to help them take it in even more deeply. So a lot of the time, that's how people learn best. I always, and this is something I'm always working on just for myself before I go into reflecting a truth or acknowledging or celebrating, consulting, whatever it is, you know, and ask myself, is there a question here first that I can ask? But that being said, sometimes the piece of awareness that's ready to be created is just so deep in your client's blind spot that questioning may not do the trick, right? They just may not get there on their own. Or sometimes the awareness, like I said, is something that you know, but your client doesn't know yet. And that's just because you have experience with it and your client doesn't have experience with it. That's where some consulting comes in, right? So in that case, asking all the questions in the world may not be so helpful to start with. Or sometimes the awareness that wants to be created is something that the client can integrate most powerfully if they see that it's something that you, the practitioner, sees in them. There's some people out there that say human beings, like the most evolved human beings, don't need outer validation. It should all be self-validation. But I don't think that that is actually true. I have not seen that to be true. Okay, there's some people in the chat asking me to say something again, but I'm not sure what it is that you want me to say again.
It's so loud in this cafe that I hate to unmute myself, but it's like whenever I see something about a client and they don't see it, there's something about me seeing it first that allows them to see it better.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So we'll get to this when we look at consulting, but you know, one example of this for now, like there's certain pieces of information that we as practitioners may have because of our experience that a client just doesn't, they just don't have, right? So for example, if I'm working with a client and we're talking about, you know, maybe a marketing thing, like they want to do a preview class, you know, to introduce themselves to new people, do some teaching, whatever. And they're like, you know, it's Wednesday and they're like, okay, so I'll do that class on Monday. I know from my experience that that's a near impossible task to get a preview teleclass together in 5 days, to get the people to it, like to set right the whole thing. So I am going to create awareness through consulting in that moment and say, you know, from my experience, it's usually best to take, I mean, I think at least three, four weeks, you know, whatever it is, right? It's just something that if the client never did it, they would have never known. Now, of course, then from there, we'll look to see what their inner wisdom is leading them to. Once I've given them my piece of like, this is what I have seen, right? Like still client desire, higher wisdom, intuition trumps it all. But I may insert that, right? Or, it's a client, maybe you're working with them on parenting and a client may not know that it's perfectly normal for a teenager this is going on in my own life, right? For a teenager to separate and want their own identity and have nothing to do with the parent, right? Like that is a piece of consulting or like creating awareness that the client may not know that it's important for them to know. Does that answer that question? Yeah. Okay. And then, you know, sometimes also we're gonna not ask the question first, but we'll use one of these other skills that we're gonna be looking at for creating awareness simply because, you know, as the practitioner in that moment, you simply feel intuitively that reflecting the truth directly and clearly from you is what's gonna make the most impact. It's almost like maybe that's a dramatic heightened moment where you speak it. So again, we definitely want to use lots of questions, but I am also someone that uses a lot of these, you know, and there are some trainings that are gonna say only use questioning, you know, don't use any of these other things. And you can check that out for yourself. I am someone who does do a lot of reflecting in different ways. We'll see what that means as we go through. Okay, so today we're gonna do a real deep dive and get into a lot of details around what I call reflecting the truth. Again, that's just one way of creating awareness, and that's just one way of reflecting. So reflecting the truth is when you share with your client what you are seeing or sensing. It may be based on them and who they are. Or as I said earlier, it might be based on wisdom that you've gleaned from your particular experience. truths. So examples of reflecting the truth. And really we can call this reflecting some harder truths. So here are some examples. Let's say you are in a session with a client or over a couple of sessions. As you're listening, it becomes clear that your client has never really forgiven their partner for X, right? Whatever it is, creating awareness on that, right? Reflect, that's a little bit of a harder truth, right? They've never actually forgiven their partner. Or let's say that your client shares that she wants to lose 10 pounds, but as you listen more, what you're actually hearing is that that may not be what she wants. That might be what her mother wants, right? Creating awareness around that. Perhaps your client is sharing about a situation at work and you see that your client is overgiving, right? And maybe in lots of different situations, and that overgiving is causing them harm. That's something you would want to reflect the truth on. Or maybe as you listen, it might be over one session, it might be over a few. It sounds like every time your client goes to accomplish something, they start to take action and then they self-sabotage, right? You want to create awareness around that. I'll just give one or two other examples. There's like thousands, right? But another example, this is more like coming from your expertise or consulting. You want, there actually isn't enough time in the day for the client to accomplish everything that they want to accomplish, right? Obviously check your filters around time and accomplishment and productivity, right? But, so hopefully, as you can see from some of these examples, sometimes, not always, but sometimes the truth that's asking to be reflected isn't always an easy one for your client to hear. Sometimes the ones that aren't so easy are the ones that are most important. Now, there are a couple of different ways that human beings respond when they're presented with a truth. That's maybe a little hard. So one way, this is, I think, the ideal way, right? They get it, they hear it, they understand it immediately, they have a breakthrough, they integrate it, right? It's like la, 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 la-di-da, like all good, right? They get it, awesome. But that's not the only way that people respond. Sometimes people respond to a truth that's hard to hear by getting angry or defensive or going into denial about it. Or sometimes they might go into self-judgment or victimhood or hopelessness. Some people, they hear something that is maybe a little hard, they might check out or get confused. But that's why you want to be really skilled and you know, we'll look at this piece too, skilled and trauma informed when you're reflecting harder truth. If you're skilled, if you're trauma informed, that's when you have the best chances of your client hearing it, getting it, understanding it, having that breakthrough, etc. And in a little bit on the call, we're going to get to different mechanics on how to do that. But before we get there, let's take a few minutes and look at the difficulties that a practitioner might have in choosing to reflect a hard truth. Because the mechanics, that's, you know, in this, the actual skill, that's usually the easier part. It's the inner stuff that can make things hard or wonky or detract from that, the masterful holding. So oftentimes practitioners will hold back on this skill because of the fear of hurting others, harming others, or having others getting angry or upset or disempowering others. And this is why you need to be skilled, because you don't want to do it, you know, those things. But the fear of that can sometimes get in the way. And even though I teach this, still these days, every now and again, I notice that it can come up for me. So one example, about a year ago, I was working with one of my clients. She's a long-term client of mine. We've been working together for a really long time, many years. And we've worked through a lot. Like when we first started working together, she was incredibly needy when it came to developing curriculum. She needed my hand-holding step by step, in a way that she didn't really need all of that consulting from me. She wasn't trusting her own wisdom. And we've kind of like worked through that. But then it kind of popped up a few years later. And because I happened to know a lot about her, and I knew a lot more about her at this point, you know, she I know has this thing that she has been working through, and I had been working, helping her work through it, where she felt like her mother was never there for her. Like if she needed help from her mother, you know, her mother just, she was like the one that forgot to be picked up, you know, after school or late or like whatever it was, right? And so when I noticed she was starting to use me as a crutch again for the curriculum, you know, too much, like not really trusting her own inner authority. And she has so much wisdom. She's a masterful practitioner. I wanted to reflect that to her, but I noticed I held back for like two or three sessions. And it was because I was scared that she was going to get, you know, like get hurt, that here I was, help, you know, leaving her, taking that support away, because of the ways that she felt about her mother, right? When I finally realized that that's why I was holding back, I wasn't like totally clear on it. I just knew I was holding back. But then I realized, oh, I'm scared she's going to get upset or angry or feel abandoned or whatever it was. I was able to work through my piece with that. And then we were able to have an incredibly powerful conversation about her leaning back into her own inner wisdom. I will just say that while most practitioners tend to fall on the like getting scared to do it, you do just want to check. You don't ever want to be too comfortable about sharing hard truths too. Because sometimes you can forget that your client might need a little bit more softness or sensitivity or holding as you look at the truth. So reflecting the truth requires bravery. It requires checking your filters. It requires objectivity. And it requires real love and compassion for your client and for yourself. It also requires for you to be comfortable holding space for someone who is uncomfortable. It requires you to be comfortable holding space for someone who is possibly uncomfortable. Because sometimes seeing something inside yourself that you haven't seen before can be uncomfortable. it can, like we said earlier, it can make a client temporarily feel judgmental of themselves, or maybe feel regret or feel sad. Or it can even maybe sometimes temporarily have the client feel too seen by you, or, you know, feel too vulnerable. So as practitioners, we need to be willing to sit in the shadows, right? In those types of shadows with our clients, to hold space for, to not feel like we want to run away from uncomfortable moments, moments of discomfort. We want to lovingly be with the uncomfortable, with full presence. So all of that sounds well and good, but of course our inner stuff can get in the way. So let's look a little bit about that before we get to the actual skills. Take a moment and journal on this. What fears come up for you when you consider sharing truths with others? What fears come up for you when you consider sharing or reflecting truths with others? Next question. Well, let me put that one in the chat. How often was truth named in your family growing up? How often was it named, and how was it shared? Was it supportive, not supportive? So how often was truth named in your family growing up, and how was it shared? Next question. Have you had experiences of being told a hard truth, but having it delivered with love and compassion? And if yes, what's been important about that? So have you had experiences of being told a hard truth, is it delivered with love and compassion? And if yes, what's been important about that for you? A couple more questions and then some shares. How do you take in, receive, and respond to feedback that others share with you? Do you respond or do you react? What happens for you when others share feedback or hard truths? Right? And no judgment on any of these things, just for your own self-exploration. I ask these questions, and in all of our journaling in this program, there's two reasons why I ask questions like this. One is for you to, you know yourself better, right? To evolve, to just evolve as a person and a practitioner by looking at these things. But the other is for you to understand more about human behavior and possible responses, feelings that your clients will have. All right, a couple more questions. How do your family members take in, receive, and respond to feedback? Do they respond or react? How do your family members take in, receive, and respond to feedback? If we have had family members that do not take it in very well, that may be showing up in our coaching and in our relationship with our clients. All right, and then last question for now. What comes up for you when you think about holding space for someone who is very uncomfortable? What comes up for you when you think about holding space for someone who is very uncomfortable? I've been doing a lot of talking, so let's pause here. What are you seeing so far? What's coming together? What feels important? I'd love to hear from a couple of you. Stacey's saying in the chat, she's afraid that she'll either offend or re-trigger old trauma, or have a client turn it around and make it about you. Yes, and we're gonna look at different skills that can mitigate a lot of that. Carlita's saying, sharing with others, I can feel long range fear about the entire relationship. Do you wanna share more about that?
Sure, there's like, I feel like I can feel like they might distance themselves from me or get angry with me. Like I might actually lose a connection with somebody that's valuable to me. I also notice that sometimes I can feel like I might judge or push them away if I don't like how they respond to it. That's equally possible. I was more surprised to see that that's there as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little bit loud where you are. So, okay. Yeah, 100%. And so number one, it's good just for you to notice if that shows up also in your coaching relationships, right? And if it does, how? And then also, and you know, we'll see as we get in, when we're talking about, you know, with clients sharing hard truths, we always want to check our own filters. This is not about us needing to be right, or even about our opinions. This is not about us opinionating. Which I know you know, Carlita. I'm just saying this for everyone because it made me think of that, right? Like, this is about, I have heard something, you know, back to why we create awareness in the first place, the reasons that I gave. We're only going to do it if it can support our client to see something about themselves and their situation that they weren't previously able to see, or if it can support the client in being able to acknowledge and accept something about themselves that they weren't previously able to acknowledge and accept, or if it's in service of supporting our client to be able to more deeply embrace something about themselves or their situation to help them become more confident, more clear, more able, and more open. Pretty much anything outside of those things is, even if it is a truth, it's not one that needs to be reflected to the client. Let me see. There's some things happening in the chat. I may not be able to get through all of them, but Stephanie's saying, I've been wondering about asking what feels like a reflecting truth question, such as, wow, yes, I hear that. Yeah, we're going to get to that, Tiffany, and you're on the right path there. And I'm going to give like specific kind of ideas and instructions on how to do that, if I'm reading your comment correctly. Holly's saying, I reflected a hard truth with one of my first clients and it triggered an old trauma. Yes, this is why I'm saying we want to be trauma informed. Actually, you know, we're going to get straight to the skills because I'll demonstrate all of that as we look at them. Good. Hema saying, I need to work on holding uncomfortable space. Yeah, my ego wants to be liked too, Hema, a lot. And that can get in the way of holding uncomfortable space. I had a client address with me that she felt judged by an aspect of our session. Jessica's saying, yeah, you were careful to reassure her, but in hindsight, I missed leaning into her discomfort. Yeah, glad you can see that. Amy Jo is saying, I notice that I can sometimes see so far forward into an outcome that it may seem irrelevant to them in the moment, but later down the road, they see that it was true. Yeah, so I love that. I mean, I love all of these, but that's one I haven't heard before. And I'm so glad that you're bringing it forward, Amy Jo. It's like, cause some of it is also checking our filter of like, is this a need to explore thing? Or is this something that like the time lapse, you know, can get to it at a later date too? Simona's fixer can get in the way of patiently holding deep spaces. Yeah, we have to build, you know, it's about us building resilience to it. Okay, so let's get into the skills. I'm going to give you a couple of different ways to reflect truth. Different situations will call for different ways. And also based on you and your energy and your personality, there's probably one way that you'll tend to gravitate to, you know, more often, but I do recommend practicing lots of different ways to, you know, appropriate to the moment. So before we even get to the different ways to reflect the truth, just kind of some background things to keep in mind. Number one, you want one of the questions for yourself that you want to keep top of mind is this: what is my client not seeing, accepting, or fully embracing that would create a shortcut to their growth or results, or even that would create a pathway, if you don't like the word shortcut, right, to their growth and results. If it's not, again, because we, it's not like we just want to be creating awareness about everything, right? We want to be particular about it. So I'll put that into the chat. What is my client not seeing, accepting, or fully embracing that would create a shortcut, or if you don't like that word, that would create a pathway to their growth and results? As I said earlier, remember, usually you want to ask questions first. Before you create awareness, you want to check in with your own inner wisdom on whether or not you sense the client is ready for this awareness. And that's not a science on knowing, right? You want to see if you have some fears in the way, right? Because that might be getting in the way. But, you know, some of the things to think about is, what is my client's mood today? You know, are they particularly raw or, you know, not? What do I know about my client's history and how they respond, right? So you want to check in with that. This next piece is really important. Be willing to be wrong. Always be willing to be wrong. If you're doing it in this more direct way, right, versus questions, client always knows best. And so, you know, for some practitioners, there may be some inner work to do around this. Do I believe that I need to be right all the time? Can I still feel valid and enough if I'm not right all the time? I feel like part of my practitioner journey has been like a journey, and like I'm wrong all the time. Not all the time. I get it right sometimes. But you know, like the beauty that comes with that. Before you share for any of the ways that we'll look at reflecting truths, other background thing to know is, always before you share, reconnect to your love of your client, to your admiration of your client, to your trust that your client is whole and complete exactly as they are. That's a really big and important piece. Always level the playing field, right? The more you work on leveling the playing field, then the tighter the container is, and the more open your client is gonna be to seeing what's there for them or not there for them in a grounded, regulated way. The other thing about the playing field, I can't remember if I shared this story. I don't think I did with you all, is, you know, if the playing field isn't level, then you're going to have the tendency to, for lack of a better word, to guru the client. You may have the tendency to guru the client if you go into reflecting a truth, where you think you're better than the client, you know, and then you're no longer willing to be wrong, right? Like what you're asserting, you think it's the truth no matter what. So the story that I like to share about this, and this is their questions in the chat about leveling the playing field. And so this speaks to that. Kind of like my famous story about this is I was at some kind of event from one of the like really big name coaches. And I'm not an event goer. This is well before you know, like years ago. I'm not an event goer, but someone on my team had a free ticket. She's like, come on, it's so close to you. Just go, you know, it'll be good. It was about manifestation, whatever. And I went, and I really wanted a breakthrough. I really wanted a breakthrough, particularly around my time. I was in a moment in my life where my younger daughter had been born pretty recently. I was really, really short on time, and I was hard to like move things forward. And so I finally worked up the courage to go to the microphone to get coached by this guy. And I shared about my work and, you know, how I was having trouble manifesting, the balance between the work and the kids and all the things. And he just kind of paused and looked at me. I think, you know, some of you know this story. I told it in another program. He paused and he looked at me and he said, you know what your problem is? Your problem is that you don't really love your work. And that's why you're not making enough time for it. And I kind of like took a pause because I really wanted a breakthrough, right? And I'm like, okay, maybe this guy is reflecting a truth. Like, let me, you know, it felt so wrong. He didn't give me an opportunity for him to be wrong, by the way, right? Like unequal playing field. He was the master. I was the one that like was listening to this incredible wisdom that he was bestowing on me. I took a moment, I tried it on. It just was not true. I, you know, said, that doesn't feel right. You know, this, that, and the other thing. And he was basically, you know, he basically said, well, you're not really willing to work on this. When you're willing to work on this, come back. You know, maybe we can, right? So that was an example of creating awareness, but it was not awareness that I needed to be created for me. It was all about the coach. There was an unequal playing field there, right? So I know nobody here would ever do that. I share that as an extreme story, right? Because sometimes we can get into the like, I'm right, you really need to see this, you know, whatever it is. We always want to be willing to be wrong. And our client's inner wisdom trumps everything, always. I think one of the greatest things that we can do as practitioners and as coaches is support our clients to really tune in and listen to their own self-leadership by that from their self. Sometimes reflecting a truth can help encourage that, right? But it has to be in service of that always. Tim's asking about inner wisdom versus false intuition. So that's when we get into fears, right? Sometimes fear can masquerade as intuition. And so that's when we may want to, and we'll get to befriending your fear or supporting a client to parse out like what is their actual inner wisdom versus what are the limiting beliefs or the fears that might be almost like glommed on, like blended in so that they can't see the higher wisdom. Okay. So let's keep on going. I'm gonna share a couple of different ways or methods or techniques of reflecting truths. The first, I call it slow and steady. And you want to use this one, particularly if, we all have trauma these days. I'm going to say particularly if you know, but I mean, really like if there is a sense that the client might get defensive, if there is a sense that there may be a trigger, like this is like slow. I mean, everything I'm going to share is trauma informed, but this is like really the slow and steady version, slowest and steadiest version. So step one of slow and steady reflecting truth, ask permission. In this case, we don't want to share anything. It might be like, you know, we sense that what we want to share or what we think we're seeing or what we think we're observing is something where we want to get permission first. So one way of asking for permission is, there's something I'm noticing about what you're sharing that you might not be aware of. Would you be open to me sharing this with you? One of the reasons why asking for permission is a trauma-informed practice is because a lot of times in the case of trauma or trauma being triggered, the client's agency is being limited. They're not giving permission. So if I feel like I'm going to share something that's a little edgy, that the client can take, that it's appropriate, you know, it's the right day, like all the things, but if I feel like it's a little edgy, I am going to think about asking for permission first, right? So that's step one in the slow and steady. Step two, sharing, but sharing in a way where you are willing to be wrong and you totally honor the client's wisdom. So it may sound something like this. I may not be getting this correct. I trust your inner wisdom on this. So you'll let me know if I'm getting this right or not, if this resonates for you or not. I'm noticing X, right? Whatever the X is. I'm noticing that you're such a self-confident person, but when it comes to networking, it's like you lose all of your confidence. Or I'm noticing that every time you have a success, it's followed by an act of self-sabotage, right? And then here is how to top that off. Am I getting that right? Am I getting that right? So I may not be getting this right, and I trust your inner wisdom. You know best. So please let me know. You know, we can just try this on. I'm noticing X, right? Whatever the X is. Am I getting that right? So we've asked for permission. And then we've shared what we're seeing, but we've shared it in a way where we are allowing full agency for our client's inner wisdom to agree or disagree, to know what is right for them. And then depending, you know, most of the time, not always, right? Because you may not be getting it right. Most of the time they'll say, oh my gosh, yes. Or they may say, you know, no, but that makes me realize why, right? Like it'll spark something else. And then from there, step three is follow up, you know, then follow up with deeper questions, continue down that line of creating awareness. Well, why do you think that happens? Or what, you know, what are you seeing about this? Or get, you know, like now that we're looking at this, what else are you noticing? Okay, so that's one way, slow and steady. Let me pause there. What are you seeing on this, or what questions do you have? Anyone want to share? What feels important? What questions do you have?
Is it okay to unmute, Joanna?
Yeah, go right ahead.
I feel like this is a really lovely way to deal with my own judgments. Like it just, maybe this is what you're saying is playing the, what could be my own judgments. Like, I just want to check this out with you. I think I'm seeing this and I love, and what I most trust is your own wisdom. So glad we're working together because you know, your wisdom is amazing. And I'm seeing this. I love the languaging. Thanks for that.
Yeah, you're welcome. And I love that you're bringing that, like checking your judgments, right? Because like we can check our filters and we always want to check our filters. And then there's still gonna be filters that are unchecked or there's still going to be judgments that we have we're not seeing exactly, right? So when we take it in this way, it's kind of guardrails for all of those pieces. Thank you.
Just a connection point, Joanna. My, in answer to the journaling questions, my, I think hard truth in my family of origin is like judgments always masked as she's so intuitive. Mm. And it took years to sort of parse that out. So I really hesitate between speaking that sort of truth, I guess. I'm even hesitant to even say it like, but it might be a judgment, but the questioning, the conscious questioning makes room for that. Might be. Here's what I'm noticing. What's your wisdom saying, you know?
Yes. Yeah. 100%. So I love that you know that about yourself. Right. And that's a place just to watch too, that you're not holding back. And then that language can really help give you the space for it. Good. Yeah. Carlita's saying the structure itself levels the playing field. Yes. 100%. The observation softens it. Yeah. Feels like more of a collaboration. Yeah. And it takes the pressure off the coach to have all the answers. Yeah, who wants to have all the answers? My ego wants to have all the answers. But besides that, no other part of me wants to have all the answers. Okay. So that's one way of reflecting truth. That's one of my... one of the ways I use the most. But there's other situations can call, like it doesn't have to always be so slow and steady, right? Really depends on the situation. So another way is through telling personal anecdote. So we never want to share a personal anecdote just to talk about ourselves, right? to be friendly, you know, like even if we love our client and we want to connect with them, right? Like in a session, that's not why we would ever tell a personal anecdote. That being said, every now and again, sharing a personal anecdote can be a really powerful way of supporting a client to create awareness. It's like sometimes it's easier to see it in somebody else's story, like then it opens up the pathway to see it in ourselves. And particularly if it's like a harder truth or an edgier truth, it levels the playing field, it normalizes it, like it makes it not a bad thing. So if you're gonna use this technique of reflecting the truth, first of all, ask permission again. Before you tell a personal anecdote, not always, right? None of these things are like always 100% of the time, but I find most of the time, like you wanna ask your client if it's okay to talk about yourself for a moment, right? Again, like, because or else they can get upset or they can get annoyed, or it's like they never got to talk about themselves and here they're like paying for a session to talk about, right? That's can like trigger a trauma too sometimes, right? So I don't do it 100% of the time all the time, right? But generally, if I'm gonna tell a personal anecdote, private session, I'm going to ask for permission. And one way you can ask for permission is your situation And by the way, you'll get notes on all of these things in a resource sheet too. You'll get the language and the wording. Your situation reminds me of something similar that happened to me. Would it be okay if I shared it? I think it might be beneficial for your learning, or it might be beneficial for you. Right? So ask if it's okay and explain why you're sharing. And then from there, sometimes I also like to put the like willing to be wrong language in next. I'll say like, so, and you'll tell me like, I might share this if they say yes, you know, and I'll say, like, you'll tell me I might share this story and you might think it's totally out of left field and has nothing to do with you, you know, and that might be the case. So tell me, right? And then I'll share very, very briefly the anecdote or like what I saw in myself in the anecdote, what it taught me, what I saw. And then from there, I'll say, does that resonate for you? And if so, how might you relate this to your situation? And it, sometimes I may even add again, and if it doesn't, let me know, I could be off here, right? So ask permission to tell the anecdote, share it, be willing for it to like not resonate for the client at all. And then ask how, like what it's sparking for them. How might it relate to them? What feels important? How to, you know, to them about that story. Be willing to be wrong or off. Let me pause there. Any questions on personal anecdote for creating awareness or thoughts? Or just even in general, and I love to hear a voice or two also what you're seeing so far, what feels important here.
Joanna, mm-hmm. I have loved the idea of asking permission because in the filtering section, I realized that I had a filter where I assume if someone hires me and pays me a neuro coach, that means that they want to go digging into their automated neural pathways and find the limiting beliefs and prune those out and rewire them. But that, come to find out, isn't always the case, because we really get attached to those limiting beliefs, even maybe addicted. And they give us dopamine hits and so that was this whole concept of asking permission. I had taken it for granted that when they hire me and they write that check and we have that initial time, that's permission. But I love that with right before reflecting a hard truth. So
this is good. But I'm so glad that's clicking. And you know what I'll say is like, I think it's like a series, it's like a process of asking permission, you know, because when I'm in a sales, for example, like in a sales conversation with a client and we're looking at if we were to work together, you know, what we might work on, you know, even there, I might say, well, would it be okay if we, you know, if we were to work together, I would imagine we would look at this, this and that, and it might be right. So even getting permission then, and then, before specific moments that it may need it.
Yeah. It's so disarming and respectful.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. I'm so glad that's coming together. Anyone else? Yeah, Elaine. Yeah, go ahead.
So this is a little different or converse to what we're saying. As a client, sometimes, okay, I'm an Aries. Let's put that up front. Sometimes I get annoyed if a coach is asking me too much for permission or reflecting too much. So I'm just putting that out there. It
seems I'm so glad you are. Yeah, that's because we're going to look at two other ways of doing this. And that's for more like Aries, like raring to go, right? Like you have to know your audience and there's different situations and even in your audience, different moments, you know, for different people. So absolutely always coach the what based on the who. And there are some people or some situations where you want to like go right in there. And I'm going to get to those right now.
Right. Yeah. Cause sometimes it's like you said, I'm paying you and you know, here we, you know, it's like, where's the solution? You know?
Absolutely. Okay. 100%. Yeah. We're getting there, but I'm glad that you're bringing it in because it's such great, right? Like it is true. Like everybody is different and everybody on different days are different. So I think that's great segue. I love that you're in Aries. There are two other ways that, you know, tools I want you to have, kind of techniques on this that I want you to have in your toolbox. And like I said, these two ways are more direct. This next way is like, and then the last one, I call it bold and beautiful. It's incredibly direct. So this third way, I mean, what I really call it is just like half reflecting, half questioning. And what this is introducing languaging into your questioning that the client hasn't yet used, but the language itself is going to create of the question is going to create awareness. So I'll just give you an example of this. It'll make sense. Let's say you're in session with a client and they're sharing that they're like working, all the time. They don't want to work so much, but they work all the time. It's affecting their life, et cetera, et cetera. So again, introducing language into your questioning that the client hasn't yet used to reflect a truth. For example, maybe in this situation, you might ask, so when did you decide that you were gonna risk everything in your life, even your health, for your work? Right? It's a question client will answer, right? But it's also a way of reflecting truth. This is an even edgier, I'm gonna give another example of a question here. This is even a little edgier and the wording, you know, some people you can use this wording with and some people not. Again, same situation, client working all the time. But doesn't want to, it's affecting their life. When did you become addicted to working? Right. So there's the awareness that's being created in that question is that there's an addiction to working or a deep attachment to working, right? When did you decide that your work was going to become the top priority in your life above all else, right? That's another example. So the wording of the questioning is the creating the truth. Again, back to Elaine's point, right? Like different people, you know, different folks, different strokes and different moments. There's right moments for each of these things. So the last way is also very direct. Call it bold and beautiful. And again, coach the what based on the who. This is, if you're going to go this route, you need a very tight container with your client. And a sense that it's a client like Elaine, like that they, this is what they want, right? Like they're it's the right day for it too, right? It's not like their cat just passed away or whatever it is. They just got, you know, terrible feedback on something or whatever. Even with this, I'm going to come back to all of the things I said before, total and utter love and respect and compassion and equal playing field, willing to be wrong, right? Like all of those pieces, even in this direct way, being bold doesn't mean that there isn't love and respect and honoring, you know, and lack of guruing and all of that. So that is also another way to say that even when you're being bold and direct, energy matters. The quality of your voice, of your holding as you share matters a lot. So I wouldn't do this with all clients, right? Like I said, tight container, relationship, you know, all the things that we spoke about, but here are some examples of bold and beautiful ways of creating awareness. My BS detector is going off right now. I don't know that I believe that you believe what you just said. Sounds like you're hiding something. Right, so those are some examples. It can be very powerful and effective and transformative in the right moment. What was the last example? Sounds like you're hiding something, or I wonder if you're hiding something here, even from yourself. I'm not sure I buy that. All right, we've still got a little more content for today. But let's pause here on these third and fourth ways, a little bit more direct. Anything that wants to be shared, any questions around those?
Joanna? Mm-hmm. This is kind of in between the first two and the second two, but I was curious, this is where a lot of times the truth pops up for me as a metaphor that I throw into the space, and I don't often know where it comes from, and I just put it in there, but it often is pointing to this same thing. Could you speak to that as another way of?
Yeah, 100%. Metaphors can be incredibly powerful and beautiful ways of creating awareness, right? So and actually we're going to talk about one more. This would fall into what we're going to talk about next. But for example, you know, as I hear you speaking, you know, it reminds me of a powerful stone making a gentle ripple in the pond, you know, whatever it is, right? Like to show like there's so much impact being made here, you know, by what you just said, even if it's this, like this little thing, that's a big thing, right? Whatever it is, or, you know, yeah. As you're talking, or even something like, you know, as you just said that, a red bird came to my tree outside and it felt like it was there to say what you said was really important, right? Not exactly the metaphor, but this other kind of like,
yeah.
Using the image, the metaphor to create awareness in one way or another.
Well, for me, it's kind of like the bullshit detector, but sometimes it's like I'll get an image that I will just like almost invite to look at the bullshit, mm-hmm. through a metaphor that doesn't point like that was bullshit, right? It's just like an intuitive place that has that happen.
I love it. Can you give us an example?
Well, I thought you were going to ask that, which is why I almost didn't say something. Sometimes I just have this sense of like, let's both get outside of it and look at it from this place. And then I will have a metaphor about that experience, and it takes it out of I'm right, you're right, I'm wrong, you're wrong, or even that I know, right? And then I don't know and they don't know, and we're both looking at it from this place.
I feel like I know exactly what you're talking about, and I can't think of like an adequate example too, but 100%. Using a metaphor can also be like a little bit of a softer way. Mm-hmm. I mean, this may not be exactly what you're talking about. It's not like it, but it's just coming to mind for me. Like, you know, as I was listening to what you just said, I feel like everything you just said, there's two buckets that the things could have fallen into, like true for real and maybe not really, like which or which, or exactly, but something Thank you. Was there another question? I feel like there's a question in the chat, but I don't know what it is.
Joanna, I have a question that is a little bit more broad, but related to all of this. So where's the line of coaching the who and your own personality? Knowing that I'm the Aries, and so that might be, I mean, I'm not super aggressive in my coaching, but I'm also not like dancing around, you know? So where is that intersection
Absolutely. So, I mean, we all have different personalities that are going to be like fall more on, you know, softer or more direct or, you know, all of that. And so a lot of that is about agreement, right? So if you know that you're super direct, probably just from a sales conversation, your prospect is going to know that anyway and appreciate it and like it. But I think it doesn't hurt, you know, in the welcome packet or in the agreement or on the first session or whatever it is, to say, you know, as you could probably tell, I'm fiery. I'm an Aries, you know, like I'm very direct. Do I have permission from you to be direct in our conversations? Or are there things that you want me to keep in mind before being direct with you? Right. And so having like an agreement like that, as you set the container, can be super, super helpful and take care of some of that stuff. But also, even with that agreement, you may want to think about, in particular moments, doesn't have to be a lot, like saying like, can I be direct? Can we just get down to business here? Can I be direct with you? Too, right? So it's not like a once and done on the agreement, but it might be something that comes up other times. How does that land for you?
Yeah, that makes sense. Thanks.
Okay. Holly, do you want to come on and share a little bit more about your question?
Yeah, I was kind of reflecting on my personal experience, where I did ask somebody, I'm like, I have something coming up and I really don't know if you'll be comfortable with me sharing it. And they said, oh yeah, yeah. And I'm like, it might be hard to hear. And they're like, oh yeah, yeah, go ahead. I really like directness. And so it was something I shared. And looking back, like if I had shared it as an observation rather than a question, I just said, well, I'm, you know, are you making this choice to avoid something else? And they were just like stunned. They're like, ouch, that triggers everything that's ever happened with my dad. Like anytime I try to move forward, he questions. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so
okay, I guess my first question for you is, and you know, because you were there, but is it a bad thing that it triggered that discomfort?
It felt bad because she wouldn't come to calls after that.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. So yeah. Then there was like something, right? So some of that is container, right? Because there are a couple things here. Number one is like, we can't be so scared of triggering, right? Like we want to be trauma informed. We don't want to trigger trauma, but we will trigger discomfort sometimes. And sometimes it's actually a good thing, right? It's situation to situation and how tight is the container, you know, and all of that. So I want to say that to you and everyone, like, because I know everybody here, like, we never want to cause harm. Like, you wouldn't be here if you didn't want to cause harm. And that's why I'm giving, like, all of these, I'm taking the time to give all of these little flourishes to mitigate all of it. And sometimes even if we do everything, we may step into a trauma and there's no way we could have known. So that's one thing. And then also sometimes we may cause discomfort, but that's not a bad thing, right? So all of that, because I don't want you to be scared, you know? I don't want you to be like a tentative practitioner. But now knowing what you know and what we've looked at today and your reflections, like if you could go back to that situation, Holly, what might you do differently?
I think telling her the sandwich of what resonates with you is most important. The resonation sandwich is super important for creating that safe space. And I think I just, like, I've gone over it so many times in my head, and I think I would just word it differently of how does this decision meet with your intentions right now of what you want.
Yeah. So wording it differently, absolutely, using some of the pieces. And then let's, we can have a longer discussion too, you know, if you want, because there's one more piece that I want to get to today, but just remind me what you did say to her and then what she said back.
I said, are you making this decision because you're trying to avoid something else specific?
So let's pause there. And we'll learn this in our questioning. There are only particular situations to use a yes, no question. Sometimes taking a reflecting the truth question out of the yes, no, and into a more open, like how can, or what might, or that, can also not have it be so, you know, that kind of thing. We actually only want to use yes, no questions when we want to elicit like a deep yes or a deep no kind of thing. So that might be a place to think about too.
Yeah, thank you. That's really helpful.
You're welcome. But, okay, we have just 2 minutes left. I might go 1 or 2 minutes over. Actually, you know what? No, let's not rush. Let's end with spaciousness and we'll get to all of this next week. So in our 2 minutes left, first of all, you'll get some homework, you'll get some resource sheet. If you are working with your coaching partner, practice at least one of these techniques this week in your session, or more than one. Work on reflecting the truth at least once. We didn't get today to just like simple mirroring and reflecting, which is, well, I'll go more into it next week, but it's just simple, like what I'm hearing is, right? So practice some of that as well, if you get to it. What are you taking from our call today? I'd love to hear one or two of you before we wrap. What are you taking for yourself?
Hi, one of the things that I'm taking is the apprehension of my ego to like not upset someone and not be liked while bringing awareness to a client by couching it in these ways, right? By, it's like, there's something that my ego's okay with. One, if I acknowledge before I get there that I'm willing to be wrong, like the importance isn't that I'm right. It's the awareness and,
right, and deeper exploration and right, wherever it leads to.
Yeah. So thanks.
I love that. I'm glad we poked some holes in your apprehension. Beautiful. All right. I feel like there's some questions in the chat, and we're also at time. So if you want to ask in either next week or in the Facebook group, well, I'll definitely get to those. And I also want to honor our agreements around time. So I'm thinking about all of you. Let me know what you need over this week. Oh, I forgot to mention, we're meeting on a different day next week. It's the Jewish New Year. So I think we're meeting next Thursday. And have a wonderful, wonderful week. I'll speak with you soon.